Romans chapter 16 and verse 8. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. The person I'd like to speak on this evening is the one mentioned in the first part of verse 10. Apelles. We're given one detail about him. He is approved in Christ. Well, I'm not really sure what that means. Does it mean that Paul and the local church approve of him because of his faith? It could do. Could it mean that Jesus Christ has approved him? Or approved of him? Well, it could mean that he is approved in Christ. I'm sure you're aware that diamond is so hard, only another diamond can cut it. And only scripture can really be used to interpret scripture. So I looked up a few references to find out what might that phrase, approved in Christ, actually refer to. And, of course, we'll never know which one of them Paul is thinking of here, or indeed if he's thinking of another expression. But this man, Apelles, whoever he is, he's approved in Christ. So I'm going to look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. I beg your pardon, Romans chapter 14 and verse 18. In fact, I'll read from verse 14. I know that I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Well, bearing in mind that only a chapter or two before Paul comments on Apelles being approved in Christ, he speaks of things which are acceptable to God and approved by men. That might be what he's thinking of. Although it's approved by men and acceptable to God. Well, what does this mean? Paul is describing one who puts love for God and love for each other beyond eating and drinking. We know that there were conflicts in the early church regarding should one eat meat from the market, which had previously been offered to an idol. Some believers in good conscience were vegetarian. Others were meat eaters in good conscience. And the church was not to try and trip each other up. Could it be that Apelles, in the great argument perhaps affecting the Roman church, loves God and loves his brethren so much that he puts them before food and drink? Well, it could well be. Alternatively, there's another passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, which I shall read. From verse 14, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Here the context is rather different. Paul is writing to Timothy and charging Timothy with what he should teach his own congregation. But he still uses the concept of approval. So he's to remind his church not to strive about words to no profit. Previously, people were striving about food. Here, they're not to strive about words. To be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The teaching here is that this is something over which Timothy and the believer, and presumably Apelles, has some kind of control. Are we presenting ourselves to God, and are we presenting ourselves to God in such a way that he is likely to approve? He says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Here, I guess the idea is of a worker or a servant performing a particular task, which the overseer or the master or the employer at the end of the day, or indeed perhaps a spot check, will come and examine and inspect. And he who has not done his share of the work, or has done so in a shoddy, shipshod manner, is likely to be ashamed. And then he talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a wonderful expression, that rightly dividing the word of truth. Not just knowing the word of truth, but dividing it, applying it, understanding the context, understanding how it is to be applied. One who does that, therefore, is to shun profane and idle babblings, which increase to more ungodliness. Well, here we have the concept of being approved to God, rightly dividing his word, working faithfully, being diligent, not bickering over pointless words, and shunning profane and idle babbling. Clearly, Paul has, I think, a particular situation in mind which has been colouring his thoughts. I put it to you that if, albeit in a different book, Apelles is one who is approved in Christ, not only does he not upset fellow believers on the basis of food and drink, but neither is he prone to idle chit-chat, but rather he's more interested in rightly dividing the word of God. And then there is a third and final reference to which approval refers. This time it's not Paul at all. I refer to the book of James and the first chapter and the 12th verse. James writes in chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, in one respect, this is not Paul writing at all. It's James. James may not even have heard of Apelles. He may know less about him than we do. And yet, the Holy Spirit, who inspired Paul to write what he did, also inspired James to write what he did. So although I don't think James has Apelles in mind any more than he had us in mind here at Martin Top, the Holy Spirit, who is the author and breathes all of the scriptures, uses that same expression of approval. Well, what is James's point? So here is a man who is blessed. Why is he blessed? He has endured temptation. Now we know that the devil will tempt us to break God's law. And even if he were to go on holiday, we have a sinful nature, which even though we ought to crucify it, even though it is no longer calling the shots, even though in one respect it's no longer us, it is still there, the old voice of Adam, wanting to take fruit again from that tree which has been forbidden, wanting us to break the commandments of God. Well, blessed is the one who endures temptation. He's enduring it because he doesn't yield to it. He's enduring it because it won't go away. Of course, you can always get rid of temptation by giving in to it. But this man doesn't. He endures it. For when he has been approved. In other words, there is a potential for that, for the approval. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Well, I suspect this is referring to that final approval when the people of God stand before the Lord on that final day. Some might argue it's referring to conversion. When you are converted, metaphorically, you receive the crown of life. You're born again. But I think it's referring to that day when we stand before him, in which case we're going to receive the approval as a kind of future event, when the Lord will claim us as his own before his Father and the holy angels. He will not be ashamed of us because we in this life were not ashamed of him. But James is talking about the one who is wrestling with temptation, who's struggling with sin and sees it as a battle to be fought and a battle to be won. And for having done so, he's going to be approved. So what does Paul mean when he describes Apelles as one who is approved in Christ? Is he a man who has wrestled with temptation and not given in? Very possibly. But then I imagine even while Paul is writing, Apelles must continue to wrestle with temptation. He's not wrestling with temptation now. Is he referring to the fact that he's known as a person who is holy and godly, even within the Roman church where there have been disputes about food? Is he approved in Christ because he has a good reputation regarding his speech and regarding his spiritual life, not easily sidetracked by arguments and divisions and bickering and an idle chit-chat? It could be one, two or three of those possibilities. It could be something else as well. Of course, the Roman church are likely to know him. It might be there is a fourth option. Here is a man who risked his life for the gospel and was willing to lay it down. But he refused and Providence secured his release. He's approved in Christ. Perhaps he was trusted with a large sum of money and was able to deliver it to its rightful owner, and therefore he was approved. But not just by the people of God, approved in Christ. There is a sense in which when you become a Christian, the righteousness of Christ is reckoned as yours, just as our sin was reckoned as his upon the cross. And in that respect, we are all approved because of Christ. And yet I think Paul uses that expression of that one particular man because he stood out to that congregation. It is, of course, a mystery. We won't perhaps discover the side of death. But there is still, I think, a challenge. Apart from our being justified, our being approved in Christ because our identity is in him and God accepts us on that basis. Apart from that, are we approved in Christ? Does he approve of how we speak, of how we think, of how we act? And can others see that? Apelles, despite our knowing so little about him, I think offers us a wonderful challenge, not just to understand what the expression means, but also to somehow be approved in Christ ourselves. Amen.